Yeah. Yeah. What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. We're doing a late night broadcast right now. Glad to have everybody tuning in, all of my late night players and playettes. Y'all still riding with me, and I'm here. We're going to have a good, deep conversation on tonight's broadcast. I ain't going to be on here too long. I won't keep y'all too long. I know it's late. I know some of y'all got to get up and go to work in the morning. I know since it's late, some of y'all might have to go get some crack or some meth this time of night. Because some cities, it's like 3 in the morning. So some of y'all up doing some shit y'all ain't supposed to be doing. But I ain't trying to get into your business. I digress. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take that real quick commercial break. So don't move a muscle. I'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Yo, check out the new music artist Professor Archibald and his new release, the Workforce Struggle EP. It's available right now on every streaming platform, YouTube, Apple Music, Amazon, Tidal, and many, many more. My man, Professor Archibald, also produces music as well, so if you need beats, hit him up on Twitter at ArchieProfess, or you can email him at ArchieBeats28@gmail.com. Check out StraightBlackLove.com. That is a dating site slash app dedicated to connecting straight black singles who are serious about finding somebody to bill with. The platform is free to use, but it does have some premium features. The newest feature is an anti-catfishing feature, which allows the user to verify that they are the person in the pictures, and they will get a verification badge. So you need to connect with an empowerment mate right now at straightblacklove.com. Attention parents and teachers, are you looking for something that will educate and relate to our children? If so, you need to order the Gifted and Lit bundle today. Gifted and Lit, that's an educational program that uses hip-hop to teach children mathematics, science, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. This bundle includes 2 DVDs, 2 CDs, a coloring book, and a workbook. Order your copies right now at giftedandlit.com. Again, that's giftedandlit.com. What's up, family? We are finally beginning to get on code for justice and economic empowerment, and now we gotta make our empowerment a lifestyle. So I introduce to you On Code Clothing. On Code Clothing is our thing, all black, everything, and fly. But make no mistake, this gear is exclusive and it's not for everyone. You gotta be grassroots aligned and in the know to truly appreciate this lifestyle brand. So check us out now at OnCodeClothing.com. Sign up and save 10% and enjoy free shipping on most orders. Again, that's OnCodeClothing.com. What's up, family? If you make music, then you already know that summertime is the best time to release new music. Reach out to my guys at LegendaryMix.com and turn your song into the next summer anthem and your whole album into the next summer soundtrack. LegendaryMix.com has the experience you need to get the job done right. With almost 20 years behind the board, their expertise is off the charts. They deliver professional audio mixing, mastering for a great price and a fast turnaround time. As a bonus, sign up to the email list at LegendaryMix.com and learn how to save on your order. Also, receive free music ebooks. Don't hesitate. Start today. Visit LegendaryMix.com or send a text to 347-565-5892 or shoot them an email at music@LegendaryMix.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Yo, we're back. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Late night edition. I got to put on some late night Mackin' mellow music to get into the vibe of the night. I wanted to get the show, the broadcast, knocked out for you tonight. Going to be doing a lot of running around this weekend. It's Father's Day weekend. Shout out to all the fathers that are doing their thing in the lives of their children. Father's Day weekend is this weekend. I hope you guys are going to spend time with your family. I'm going to spend time with mine. But I am here. Shout out to the Bay Area. A lot of folks in the Bay up here in the chat room already. By the way, for those who don't know, Hidden Colors 5 will be in theaters. It will be in theaters August 1st. That's in a couple of months from now. We have added some new cities to the screening roster. Now, understand, the screening is going to be for one day only in your city. Whatever city you are in, it's going to be one day only. So you're going to have to go the day of. You're going to have to turn out that day. Now, we've added some new cities. We have added the Bay Area. We finally got a theater in the Bay Area. So San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, all you guys can come on through the Clay Theater. That's where it's going to be Thursday, August 1st. Also, we got Houston. We finally got the venue in Houston. So Houston is going to be in effect. I said effect. I'm using old 1989 terms. I like the I'll Be Sure album. But yeah, Houston's going to be in the house at the River Oaks Theater in Houston. I know Memphis needs it. I know we just don't, you know, we ain't got that. You know, I do want to get it popping in Memphis, but I'm not getting the cooperation I need from the venues. You understand? But for those, let me just run down a complete list of the cities. The Bay Area, that means San Francisco, Oakland, at the Clay Theater, Houston, the River Oaks Theater. In New York City, it's going to be Friday, August 2nd, and there's going to be two screenings at the SVA Theater. In Baltimore, it's going to be at the Senator Theater. In Norfolk, Virginia, it's going to be at the Narrow Expanded Theater. Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Indianapolis, Los Angeles. That's going to be Wednesday the 31st. That's the world premiere of the film. That's going to be off the chain out here in L.A. Miami, Minneapolis, Philadelphia, San Diego, Seattle. Shout out to Seattle. Y'all better go see this movie, Seattle. Raleigh, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. St. Louis and Washington, D.C. All right. So everybody go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get your tickets now. I know Dallas is almost sold out. Dallas is going to be sold out probably by next week. They might, usually when it sells out this early, they'll add another showing. Hopefully they do that. But y'all better get y'all tickets, especially if you're in Dallas. That thing is about to sell out. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Also get the Hidden Colors t-shirts, the HC5 t-shirts, the official HC5 t-shirt available now, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get into what we're going to talk about tonight. Right now, this summer, we're in the middle of summer, and I hate dating the shows, but I have to date this broadcast. The year is 2019. I hate dating the shows because these shows transcends time. It's so much good information, if I may say so myself. But this is the 100-year anniversary of the Red Summer of 1919. The 100-year anniversary. I'm going to get a little deeper into that a little later on. Let me talk about some other stuff that's going on in the media before I get into that. Y'all heard about Cuba Gooding Jr. Cuba, he turned himself in because they said that he groped a woman at a bar in New York. So he left, and then they had a warrant out for him, so he had to turn himself in. So essentially he got arrested, and they made him do the perp walk. They paraded him around in handcuffs. You know, they don't do that to white people. I just want y'all to be very clear about that. They don't do that to white people, especially white celebrities. You know, all those white women and people that were accused of scamming the schools and pulling off those felonies by paying those schools for bogus degrees, all those celebrities, those white celebrities, you never saw them in handcuffs. You notice that? You never saw them in handcuffs. And, you know, Cuba Gooding Jr., this brother, he's a very well-established actor. This man has been in blockbuster films. Blockbuster films. This man has been in Oscar award-winning films. He's won an Oscar. He won an Oscar for Jerry Maguire. And what's interesting, after, you know, they put this warrant out on him and he got arrested, they were like, well, actor from Boys in the Hood, Cuba Gooding Jr. They start talking about Boys in the Damn Hood. They went all the way back to negrify him. See, they negrified him. They could have said Radio, Red Tails. There's a whole bunch of movies this man has been in within the last 30 years. They went back 30 years and said, this nigga's from Boys in the Hood. They negrified him. Family. And I saw the video. They had the video on TMZ, and TMZ is talking about, look, he touched her breast. No. This is some I'm white and I say so garbage. Again, you got these white dudes out here just raping and committing incest and molestation, and you don't see none of them in handcuffs like that. Hell, and I brought this up before. Go find me a picture of Jeffrey Dahmer in handcuffs. Jeffrey Dahmer, the infamous serial killer, the white serial killer that was eating up people, eating black folks up. They never really had him paraded around in no damn handcuffs. I challenge you to find a picture of serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer in handcuffs. But black celebrities, oh, all of them, if they've been arrested, there's pictures and videos of them in handcuffs. They make sure to make them do that Negro perp walk. And they like to splash their mugshots all over the place. You understand? And what happened at this bar, Cuba was with some chick. He was with one white woman, I think his girlfriend or whatever. And then another white woman came and sat next to him. And then he leaned over to talk to her, and Cuba's arm was on her leg. And they said he raised his hand up to touch her breast. And it doesn't look like that. It looked like he just kind of had his hand up talking to her, and she touched his hand or something. So they were tipsy. So they charged that man with sexual assault for touching a white woman. And you look at the video, and the white woman didn't look like, oh my God, look at what's happening to me. They were having a casual conversation. Other people came over and had a conversation. And then later, she followed them to another section of the bar from what I see on this video. And then later, she went and pressed charges. So it looked like it could almost be a setup. This looked like it was almost set up. Like this woman said, okay, look, this dude is drunk. Let me go over here. And if he, you know, he looks like he's kind of touchy-feely. And if he brushes up against me, I'm gonna play the I'm white and I say so card. I swear it looks like it was a setup. It really looked like a setup. And brothers, y'all can be on this whole thing where I'm kumbaya and I don't see color. You can play this game if you want to. You better be safe around people in the dominant society. Just because they're laughing and grinning and cackling and kikiing in your face, that doesn't mean they won't set you up. That smells like a setup. Like this white woman saw an easy mark. There's a black celebrity here. He's drunk. People are coming up to him and talking to him. Oh, let me go up here and get mine in. But black folks, it's time to stop playing. You ain't got no friends out here. You're not the honorary non-color. See, you think you can get around your friends and you don't, they don't see, they tell you they don't see color. That's bullshit. All these people see color. They know you're a Negro. They know that you're a victim of white supremacy, and some people will take advantage of that and use that to their benefit. That's the long and short of it. You better be careful when you're the only black person in a place. Y'all better chill out on chasing all that pink cooch. I know it feels exotic to you, but bruh, y'all in a situation where you better keep your safety in mind. You're not safe around these people. The people in the dominant society, they've proven that it's just simply not safe for a person who's a victim of white supremacy. You never know who's going to victimize you. And I knew it was a white woman just by the fact that they had an arrest warrant for him so easily for this random white woman. See, that's why I don't let people fool you talking about, hey, why are you talking about you a victim of racism? You got some money. The rule of the game is the poorest white person can take down the richest, most powerful black person. That's how white supremacy works. Black folks, y'all better get that in your brain. Don't let these white supremacists run the class game on you. That's the problem. A lot of times, black folks get around these white supremacists and they start talking about classism, and then they start talking that Alex Jones, it's the Illuminati, it's the Bilderbergs. They're taking over all of us. They're trying to control all of us. It's not about race. It's about the Bilderbergs and the Illuminati. They run that game on you and make you lower your defenses. White supremacy is wealth. That trumps capitalism, socialism. That trumps all the other isms. Racism, which is white supremacy. That is the dominant force. And black people, we're going to have to stop being afraid to say that. We got to stop being afraid to call something anti-black racism. See, a lot of people in the dominant society, they get away with practicing racism against us. Number one, half the problem is too many of us are afraid to call it out verbally. If you won't call something out verbally, you're not going to do anything about it physically. I want that to be drilled into your brain. If you won't call something out verbally, you're not going to do anything about it physically if you will not even verbally acknowledge it. And black folks, you sit around and y'all let these white supremacists time waste. They get into time wasting troll behavior where they want to talk in circles, and you'll engage them because talking in circles stops you from doing anything, which is what you're scared to do. You're scared to do anything, so you don't mind talking in circles with these damn white supremacists. Stop doing that. Don't argue with them about their justifications for non-justice in the two-tiered justice system. When you start calling things what it is, that's half the battle there. We have to control the narrative. If you want power, see, this is how powerful people work. You understand? We got to learn how to be in power positions. Powerful people come in and they take control of the narratives. They start naming things. Notice when the white supremacists started going around the globe, the first thing they started to do was name everything. or rename, because everything had a name. Like when they went to these different countries, you know, they had names, but the white supremacists would just rename it. Yeah. I really, you know, paid attention to this when I went to Easter Island. Now, Easter Island, that's a name that the white supremacists named that island over there. In the, I want to say the Pacific, the South Pacific, is a very remote island. And when I went there to visit some years back, went to visit Easter Island and looked at the exotic statues there. When I would talk to the local people there, I would make the mistake of calling it Easter Island or ask a question about Easter Island. And what's interesting, they would immediately correct me. The proper name of the island before Easter Island was Rapa Nui. And they would always correct me. I said, what's the weather like here in Easter Island? You mean Rapa Nui? Yeah, the weather here is pretty hot. So they would correct me. And I respect that. Those are people who are still trying to hold on to their tradition. And I respect that. That's power to me. To me, I looked at that as a power thing. And over there, I saw a lot of the locals, the natives, they were calling out white supremacy. They were like, yeah, they got us under duress. They got us held hostage. But we still know who we are. We still know who we are. You understand? Everybody was on code. And that's the seed of power, when you're on code, when you know how to call something what it is. Same thing in Hawaii. Somebody in the chat room made a good point. Yeah, when I go to Hawaii, the people are very friendly, but one thing they do, they'll fly those flags upside down. That's a sign of protest. A lot of the Hawaiians will fly flags upside down to show that, look, we are an occupied people. We're very friendly, but we know who the enemy is. When you talk to a real, real Hawaiian, and I love Hawaii. That's why y'all see I'm out there all the time. I absolutely love Hawaii because they know what the deal is. The Hawaiians out there are hella cool. Now, when some of them getting around white supremacists over here, they might switch it up. But over there, the Hawaiians are hella cool. I love their energy and I love their spirit out there. And they know who the white supremacists are, and they know culturally, you know, they try to reject them as much as possible. But the thing is, when the white supremacists went around, they started naming everything. See, that's how they assume power. When you can name something, you're taking power over that, and you're taking power away from that. That's very important. This is why, I give props to my brother Neely Fuller with the term race soldier. Notice that's a proper term to call people who go around killing us unjustly. That's why we have to use terms like that. And I really brought that term. I got it from Neely Fuller, but I brought that thing into the national lexicon. A lot of these terms I've helped usher in because I've gotten on national television and I've used these terms, and I forced the mainstream media to use these terms. I was really one of the first people to use the term white supremacy to describe the entire system of justice, not just the fringe groups. See, when they talk about white supremacy, they like to talk about Richard Spencer and the Klan and the neo-Nazis. No. I went and put it in its proper context. Those are white extremists. The white supremacists are the ones who are running everything else. And when you keep saying that without fear, it starts to catch on. Then they're forced to start saying it. Notice in the media, they use the term white supremacy a lot now. You understand? They use these terms a lot. Notice a lot, I'm not patting myself on the back. I don't want to be here to pat myself on the back, but even the term bed wench, you know, that's a popular term in society now. The term bed wench is everywhere. And I started that term over a decade ago. And that term helped take away the divisive power of these bedwinches because we had a word that could identify these people that was working with white supremacists, laying up with Zaddy, working against black society. They've been around for a long time, but nobody had been able to identify them. We've always had these little slick-ass mammies running around with Zaddy undermining black society. They've been around for a long time. But I know how to study patterns, and I saw some things, and I saw some certain patterns and words, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm seeing the same patterns and words from certain people. I'm seeing a lot of these so-called black feminists up here swirling, and I'm seeing a lot of these so-called black feminists up here working against black society. I see a lot of them working to get laws passed to harm black people as a group, and I'm looking at the common denominator. I'm like, wait a minute, the common denominator is them laying up with white dudes. I started looking at all these common denominators. And also, whenever we start talking about black empowerment and we start talking about history and empowering black people as a group, it was them mammies coming out the woodworks to undermine everybody. I'm like, wait a minute. This is some bedwin shit right here. This is some stuff from slavery again. So we could properly identify the Candace Owens of the world and the Sage Steels of the world. We could properly identify people. So now these bedwinches, when they come out and we see them for what they are, but they are already neutralized. These bedwinches are powerless now because we know how to immediately call them out when they step out here trying to undermine us. We already know who they are, what they're about. We already know their agenda. So now they cannot covertly wiggle their way in black society and undermine us. We've taken power away from them. You understand? It's very important to know how to label certain things so that it won't have power over you. This is why we gotta have the proper labels for these race soldiers, because that's what they are. And also, when they pull little stuff like they're doing to Cuba, and Cuba can hold his own nuts too, by the way, and because this ain't really about Cuba, it's just about black folks understanding how things work. Because Cuba does a lot of tap dancing around these damn white folks. But what they're doing to him is 100% racial. And we have to call it that. Whenever they do stuff like that, whenever they start me-tooing black folks, we're going to have to call out the racial aspect of it. It is 100% racial. They're not perp walking all these white men. Brian Sanger, this week, they just said this dude had to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to somebody that he allegedly molested. I mean, you got these people out here with straight up molestation cases out here, and they're not being perp walked. They are protecting these white supremacists, and we're going to have to call the racial aspect of it out. Of course, they're going to deny that it's racial. It's our job to not give a damn whether they deny it or not. We're calling it for what it is. Yeah, they're going to act hostile towards us. See, that's the thing. Black folks don't want any kind of hostility. You don't want the white supremacists mad at you. That scares Negroes. If white mommy and white daddy are mad, oh my God, Lord Jesus, I don't want to get in no trouble. I want to get in good trouble, like down in Selma. Y'all start talking like John Lewis. But we're going to have to call racism what it is. When somebody does something racist, when you see the Me Too movement targeting black people, call it for what it is. This is racial targeting. This is racial anti-black targeting. We're going to have to use definitive terms like that, or I suspect that it's anti-black racial targeting. We got to be very definitive and clear with our words. That's how you get power. When you call something out and call it for what it is, it loses a lot of its power. you're taking power over that. You understand? So we got to stop being afraid of that and have no fear in doing that. And also, we got to be able to call out the bedwinches, mammies, and minions that the white supremacists try to appoint to represent us. See, we have to call that out. We got to call that out heavy. When they parade some people around talking about they're going to discuss something that pertains to black society, we are going to have to beat the drum and sound the alarm. Hey, this is not anybody that we propped up. What are they going to be talking about? Because next week they're having this reparations talk with Congress. They're going to have some kind of hearing on reparations next week. And they're going to get a lot of Democrats. I know Sheila Jackson Lee and all these folks. So this already smells like the whammy bammy. It's already smelling like a con job. They're going to have the brother Ta-Nehisi Coates. They're going to have him there. They're going to have Danny Glover, the actor, there talking about reparations and the study. Because when they start using trick bag words, it's a waste of time. When they start talking about they're going to have a hearing to study a proposal for reparations, they're hitting you with double BS right there. I saw some of the wording that they had in this, and they're talking about studying the need for a proposal. I mean, give me a damn break. We're not going to let them waste time. See, they want to use this to say, hey, look, we talked about reparation. We had a hearing about reparation. So we haven't neglected black people. We had a hearing about reparation. So that's the first step. See, they're going to start talking that baby step BS. Well, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, it's been 400 damn years, but we're just going to have to keep waiting. We're going to have to take baby steps. We don't have to take no damn baby steps. That's BS. When it comes to us, everybody wants to drag ass and it's going to take forever. No. If y'all not having a meeting talking about how much the check is going to be, they're wasting time. If you're not talking about how much my damn check is, then you're wasting time. I don't take you seriously, and I'm not going to vote, and we're not going to vote for none of these Democratic candidates. You're not going to run that con game on us. You're not going to go in there and start talking study and minority and people of color. We're not going to play that game because they're still playing that game. They're still trying to play the game where they want to lump us all with everybody else. See, that's why they want to label us so much. See, they want to label us. See, when we start using terms like, hey, we're American descendants of slaves, or we're foundational black Americans, see, we're taking power doing that. See, we're taking power doing that. When we reject their labels like minority, person of color, we have to reject that full tilt. Those are terms that they put on us. They put that on us. That's why those terms disempowers us. We don't have no power. That takes every drop of power from us and gives it to other people. They gave us those labels. That's why they flipped it and had us. They got us talking that. Well, as a minority, I feel that we better reject that. We have to reject that. It takes our power away. When we say, hey, we're foundational black Americans, now we got our power back, because that's not a term they gave us, and that's a very specific term for us. So already we are assuming power. And just by doing that alone, I want y'all to see the fact that they are having this reparations hearing now, that's because of us taking and assuming the position of power, not because of them. We're forcing them to do this. Let's be very clear. They're desperate. They're still trying to run trick bags on us, but they have to acknowledge reparations. They're trying to do it on their terms, and we're going to let them know you're not going to do it on your terms. You're not going to put Danny Glover and all these people out here and start talking around the circle, and then y'all going to run out the time clock by talking about how bad racism. Okay, we know racism is bad, but I want to get to the money part. And when it gets down to the money and who gets what, well, we're going to study some more and then talk about how bad it is. And it's going to be a basically a truth and reconciliation type of thing. Because that's what they're going for. What they want to do, they want to have a modern version of the truth and reconciliation thing. That's why they got Danny Glover. You know, Danny Glover, you know, Danny Glover played Mandela in one of the movies, I think back in the 80s. I think Danny Glover played Mandela. See, there's a reason why they do certain things. And in South Africa, they had the truth and reconciliation. They had the truth and reconciliation basically saying that, okay, look, we're not going to have open apartheid and the whites are still going to keep all the money. They're sorry. Let's reconcile. And they told their truth. We're not going to punish them. And everything is Hakuna Matata. It's a nothing burger. So understand. And Danny Glover's really, you know, been doing the Mandela thing for a long time. And, you know, he's, you know, did a lot of stuff with South Africa. So they're using those optics. They're using those optics with having Danny Glover there. And they're going to start that truth and reconciliation thing. I can damn near almost guarantee it. Just the fact that they got Danny Glover, they're going to start running the whole South Africa thing going on and starting that. Let's all get together. Kumbaya. Let's forgive. Let's all love each other. We all people of color. So they're already setting it up. I already see it for what it is. When they start getting random people like Danny Glover, what the hell? What is it? And I ain't got nothing against Danny Glover. I'm like, what the hell is this going to be about? You dig? So Danny Glover is going to be in there talking like he's Mandela. And plus, he's going to be in there talking like Mister from The Color Purple. I've had it hard. Seeley, he gonna be in there talking like John Lewis. Me and Seeley went to Selma. I'm too old for this shit. You ding? So that's gonna be a nothing burger. That's going to be a whole nothing burger, and I'm not gonna put too much stock in that. Because the Democrats they're already trying to get the whole we are a nation of immigrants. They keep trying to lump us in with other immigrants. Bernie Sanders posted something on his Twitter, I think earlier today, as a matter of fact. Let me play a little clip of this. This is what Bernie Sanders played, one of his campaign ads. Now listen to this.
And a story we are proud of.
This country is a nation of immigrants. That's who we are. Other than the native peoples of the Americas, every one of our families came here from somewhere else.
Okay, let me pause right there. He said, this is a country of immigrants. We, Black Americans, foundational Black Americans, we are not no damn immigrants. Other than the Native Americans, everybody came from somewhere else. Well, hell, the Native Americans came, you know, they crossed over from the Bering Straits and all that stuff. We want to get technical. But this whole we are a nation of immigrants, we are not immigrants. Don't ever let nobody run that game. Don't let nobody run that game. But listen, this is the rest of what he had to say.
Some came by choice, some by necessity, and others came in chains. As we have developed as a nation, each and every group has contributed greatly to the growth and prosperity of America. And our nation has been most successful and most true to its ideals when that prosperity has been shared more widely rather than less. Unfortunately.
Oh, please, please, Bernie, you full of shit. Get the hell out of here, Bernie. Okay, Bernie. First of all, and black folks, see, this is this person, Bernie, trying to revise history. We didn't immigrate anywhere. See, they've been trying to desperately make slavery some form of immigration. They've been trying to use this twisted logic to make it seem like, well, slavery was forced integration or forced immigration. No, immigration is a very specific term. You're leaving one land to another land to better yourself. Immigration is a very, very specific term. When you purposely leave one land to better yourself in another land. There's nothing about our experience that says that. We didn't immigrate to America. You know why? Because there was no damn America when we were here. When we got here, there was no America. There was no United States. We didn't leave something better. We didn't leave something that was okay and then arrive to something better. We didn't leave something that was messed up and arrive to something better. We arrived to nothing. We arrived to some place that was nothing. And our identities were taken away. So there was nothing until we built it. There was no wealth. There was no land. There was nothing. There was no economy, government, nothing. There was nothing until we built it. To say that we immigrated or even remotely implied that we somehow immigrated to America, that's emphatically incorrect and non-factual. There was no country here. We built it. We built this country for free, and everybody else benefited from our labor. We are the foundations of America. We ain't no damn immigrants. We are America. We have to bring it to their asses like that, family. We have to bring it to them like that. That's how we gotta present it. You're not gonna lump me in with another group of people who damn had a war with you, who we had to fight because they tried to destroy this place, and now I gotta be lumped in with them? No. No. We black Americans, we are America. We're the foundations of America. No other group can claim that. We're the only non-immigrants. We're the only people who didn't leave and come to a place that was better. We built the better. So you better own that. And another thing, while other people cannot compare themselves to us. See, we built different. See, we foundational black Americans, we built different. See, we're the people, we not only did we build this nation from scratch, we've endured systematic terrorism in the process, and on top of that, we still stand up and fight. We weren't like these other groups who had some hardships in their country and packed up and got the hell on. And they didn't go through half the hell that we go through. They're not going through half the garbage that we go through. Black people in America, our children are being slaughtered. We're being murdered. We're being killed. We're being systematically terrorized. And we still wake up and stand up and we still put our nose to the grind and we still fight these goddamn beasts. You don't see foundational black Americans running up to Canada to hide, or going down to Mexico to hide, or hopping on a boat somewhere to go somewhere else to hide. You don't see us running. You see us in the goddamn streets. We're 13% of the population, and we're still on some David and Goliath tip. We'll still go up against them. And we're the minority in this country. And we'll still stand up to these damn beasts. You see black children. I remember being in Baltimore. You got black children out there fighting the military. They got billions of dollars of military tanks and planes and little old unarmed black teenagers fighting for their damn lives. Ain't nobody else built like that on this goddamn planet. You go to some of these other countries, two white people come in and y'all out there buck dancing. The minute two white people show up, niggas out there buck dancing with your ass cracked wide open. We different. Don't compare us to nobody. Ain't nobody got the heart that we have. We still deal with these damn white supremacists. Yeah, we got our coons, but we got our riders too. That's the thing. For every coon, we got a rider. We got some riders. So don't ever compare us to no other group. We different, and we need to be paid different. Don't ever lump us in, and don't let them lump you in with no other damn group. Especially these groups who come over here with anti-black hostilities because of jealousy. A lot of it is jealousy. They see that we can stand up and we'll fight for hours when they have to bend over and spread them cheeks, and they see us and they look at themselves in the mirror and they feel jealousy, so they want to come over and undermine us. That's the long and short of it. Ain't no minority coalition. And y'all know that. Ain't no damn minority coalition. Because they know they ain't built like that. They know over there in their country, they over there selling their kids for sex. They got sex rings and pedophile rings and all these other countries. See, we don't do that. I brought this up before. Black Americans, we're the only people on the planet. We are the only group on the planet that does not have an open sexual market society for children. You cannot go anywhere in Black American society and buy a child. You understand? You cannot do that with foundational black Americans. And other groups, you can go to their country and there's a place for pedophilia. They got little spots and little sub-societies within their culture where you can go out there and get a kid. We don't have that in black society. You'll get killed doing that. We're the only folks who make it on site if we see you doing that type of stuff. It's on site. We different. We are different. Don't let nobody compare themselves to us. And again, we got riffraffs, and that's the thing. We know how to ostracize and try to distance ourselves from riffraffs within our culture. And again, we fighting these white supremacists on a daily basis. And even the universe is trying to assist us by telling us we're doing the right thing. Because even the universe is taking some of these white supremacist terrorists down. You know, a lot of those white women from the Central Park movie, they're losing deals. They're getting run up out of their jobs and their little positions. The energy is changing. Because now we're codifying, we're getting on code. This one white supremacist sheriff, if you follow me on Twitter and Instagram, I posted up some links. This guy named Jack Strain down there in Louisiana, he was one of these white supremacist sheriffs talking about how he's going to arrest black folks walking around with dreads and all this old stuff and chi-wee hairstyles and all. Just real, you know, a lot of those sheriffs down there in Louisiana, they're just openly white supremacists. You know, they got that prison down there. They got Angola Prison. And they call it Angola because it used to be a slave plantation. And it still is. And they called it Angola because that's where they would get the most of the slaves from. They were getting African slaves from Angola, Africa. So they named the plantation Angola. And after slavery, they're like, okay, let's keep this thing going. And we'll just call it a prison. It's the same thing. See, that we got to wrap that type of stuff up. We still got these slave plantations masquerading as prisons. See, we got to wrap that all up and produce justice. These are racially based slave plantations, and we have to call that for what it is. Angola is a slave plantation. That's all it is down there. We have to call that what it is. See, when we start calling it what it is, we can work on dismantling that type of thing. And by the way, the Jack Strain guy, he just got arrested for being a pedophile, and he got arrested for incest and a whole bunch of stuff. Also, they arrested him for giving these no-bid contracts for work release programs because they make money off black folks out there. It's a slave system. That good old boys network where they give these little contracts for construction and they give these little contracts for prison labor and work release programs and halfway houses. I mean, it's a whole big little industry down there fueled off black people being punished. Oh, they got their whole little good old boy slavery industry down there. And remember, a lot of those white supremacists down there in Louisiana, many of them are descendants of the white supremacists who had to run from Haiti. So they've been hearing all their lives that you better keep your foot on the necks of those blacks because of what they did to us in Haiti. See, they never forgot. See, that's one thing they never forget. A lot of white supremacists had to leave Haiti and they went to Louisiana, and they still mad. They're still salty, and they still go out of their way to subjugate black people at the highest level. See, we got to start cleaning that up. We ain't going to get no help from nobody else. See, we got to start assuming power. We got to start producing justice. Because they know what we're capable of. You don't know what you're capable of. That's why they want to keep you blind, deaf, and dumb. They want to keep you high. They want to keep you on lean. They want to keep you twerking. They love for niggas to twerk. They love promoting that. I saw there was a pride parade out there in D.C. And understand, you got these white supremacist groups running around here at these pride parades with guns and the whole nine. And in D.C., a bunch of hood rats out there twerking on cop cars. It was a bunch of hood rats, and I posted this on my Instagram. They out there popping their ass on cop cars, and the police are letting them. Now, remember, in certain cities, when they're riots and black folks are stomping on cars, you know, they get arrested and charged. But no, they let these hood rats twerk on the cop cars. And again, we got to stop letting the minions of white supremacy be the dominant voices. See, that's another thing. We got to learn how to shut that down. See, we got this thing where we've allowed ratchetness to become a part of what black culture is. See, we're going to have to start redefining our culture. We got to start redefining what black culture is going to be. And ratchetness is something that we're going to have to alleviate from black culture. Not because I want to impress any white people. Because see, a lot of us, we want to change. We need to change because they look at us funny. I don't give a goddamn how they look at us. I want to know how we look at us. And if we see hood rats twerking all over the place, you know, that messes up the morale of the group. That destroys the morale because it shows that there is no discipline, that shows there's no control. And we got so many ratchets out here that's been created by systematic white supremacy, the single ratchet phenomenon, and they get to do whatever because there's no males around to really check them, or males in positions of power to check that. I saw a video that's circulating. It was a white wedding reception or something. It was some kind of white event. And it was a white guy standing there with a white woman, and the white woman looked a little tipsy, and she saw somebody was filming her on camera. So she's dancing a little tipsy. So she turned around and she's about to start twerking, and the white man grabbed her arm and pushed her back. He stopped that immediately. You ain't about to be showing your ass and acting a damn fool. He checked her ass within seconds. But see, with us, it's twerk fest. The women start twerking, then the kids start twerking, then the niggas start twerking. Somebody said that was her dad. Okay, that's what's up. We need more dads to stop that twerking. That's the problem. You don't have dads pulling their daughters aside saying, hey, stop doing that. See, I didn't let my daughter do all that. I wouldn't let my daughter twerk all over the place. When dads are around, you ain't letting your kid pop ass all over the place. It's so bad now. You got not only little girls, you got little boys twerking. You understand? This is why we gotta learn how to be in positions of power and learn how to get into the groove of power. And we have to start assuming power. Because the thing is, it's the 100-year anniversary of the Red Summer of 1919. And in the Red Summer of 1919, there was a bunch of race riots going on around the country. Because black people were being systematically mistreated. It's 100 years later, family. And we're still going through the exact same thing. We're going through the exact same thing. We haven't changed one iota as far as race relations. We're still dealing with the same damn thing from 100 years ago. Well, let's come to terms with that. And that means that we have to start forcing the change. We have to take control of the reins. 100 years, we out here still going through systematic white supremacy, being slaughtered, being killed with impunity. Now understand, the Red Summer of 1919, around this time, the reason why there were a lot of race riots going on is because this was World War II. Right after World War II, a lot of black people were going abroad. A lot of black people were traveling outside of the country for the first time. So they were seeing the world. And even Woodrow Wilson, and he was the president at the time, he knew, and other people knew, hey, man, when these niggas get back after they done, you know, went around the world, you know, we might be in trouble. Their mentality is going to be different. Woodrow Wilson said this. They knew. They understand. Once you get outside of your box, once you physically start expanding and going to different places and experiencing different things, it's very difficult for people to put you back in a box and tell you what you can and cannot do. World War One. Did I say World War Two? World War One. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm World War One. I'm sorry. If I said World War Two, I'm sorry. My bad. Thank you in the chat room. The people in the chat room corrected me. World War One. I don't know why I said World War Two. I knew it was World War One. But black people, again, were traveling around the world. So, again, it's going to be hard to put you back into a box. That's why it's very important for you to travel. Black folks, you need to travel, 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 travel. When you start expanding your mind, man, a lot of that petty hood, goofy bullshit that you are used to doing, you'll put that by the wayside, man. Once you start experiencing different things, all that petty hood shit, man, that's going to go out the window. You got to get your passport. You got to get out here and travel. You got to get out here and see the world, man. That will really open your mind up. Traveling, that's one of the biggest ways to learn game. That's your university. The world is your university. Traveling, that's your university. You'll learn so much by just traveling everywhere. That's like a lot of people ask me, how do I know so much? Did I get a degree in college? No, nigga, college, I didn't study the pyramids. I've been in the pyramids. I didn't have to read a book about Kemet. I've been there. I'd have been all up to the Sphinx and the museums. I didn't have to study Easter Island. I've been to Easter Island. I didn't have to just study the Olmecs and read about them. I studied them and I went down there to Mexico and I've been to the Olmec statues. You understand? So traveling is very important, and they knew that. The white supremacists know that. That's why they don't like you traveling. They don't like black folks getting out here and expanding. You know, they want to keep you being used to being in a box because it's better to control you. You're used to being controlled, so you don't mind it. So black folks started to travel. They became more worldly. So black folks didn't want to be regulated to the confinements of white supremacy and segregation. Also, during World War I, they had to cut immigration out because a lot of these immigrants were coming from countries that the U.S. was fighting. So they had to chill out on immigration. You couldn't bring in all these new white immigrants from Europe. And, you know, that created labor issues. And what happened, a lot of black folks at the same time were moving up from the South. They were having the first wave of the Great Migration. So black folks were moving from the South to the North. So they were experiencing the racism from the North. They always try to put racism in the South, but the most vile racism has always been in the North. The North has always been more vile with their racism than the South. That's why in the book Sundown Towns, most of those sundown towns are in the North, where black folks just can't go at all. They got these towns where after 6 o'clock, ain't no black folks. You can't be in town after 6 o'clock. You dig? They got them all over New York, Illinois, Michigan. Excuse me. But the thing is, there was a lot of racial tension there because black folks wanted to work. And when black people started to work and get these jobs and they started making money and stacking up their money, being equal to whites. See, the white supremacists don't want black folks elevated. They like black folks raggedy, broke, destitute. So when black people started to get an economic foothold, they were like, oh, hell no. Remember, this is the time of Tulsa, Oklahoma. All of these black towns popping up that was very prosperous. Black folks was getting it in. When white supremacists start talking about black folks need to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, don't listen to them, because the minute you start pulling yourself up, they're going to try to sabotage you. And that's what was happening in 1919. Black folks, what happened was black folks were fighting back. That's why that summer was so significant, because before that, there were race riots before, and what they would do is just run black folks out of town. They would just go see black folks being prosperous and they'll just go to the town and just run all the black folks out overnight and take their land. In 1919, that wasn't going to work. They tried to, you know, they were fighting black folks and they tried to lynch a couple of black folks, and black folks started putting it on their ass. Black people were fighting back. And that's the thing that would shock people. They're like, oh, damn. They were like, well, the Russians must be behind this. That's where all that communist talk and all that stuff came from, because there was a big revolution in Russia. The poor people rose up against the government in Russia, so they were afraid that black people over here was going to do the same thing. So they've been talking that Russian bot stuff. They've been talking that for 100 years. Even with Dr. King, they were saying that Dr. King is funded by Russians and the communists. Anytime black folks want to step up and stand up for themselves, they always act like there has to be a bigger white supremacist behind these Negroes. That makes them feel better. Yes, the Bolshevik revolution in Russia, that happened, yes. So black folks were fighting back. So they had to come up with ways to pacify black folks. You know, they start talking civil rights this, civil rights that. They sent the fake liberals in. And that has always pacified us. See, we got to get off that. We got to get off that whole, we got liberal friends. And we don't. We don't have no friends. That's just what it is. And that's okay. We don't need that. We need power. And now we fast forward 100 years. We've been kumbayaing we've been diversifying, we've been minorityizing, we've been doing all this stuff, we've been lumping ourselves and letting these people lump us with all these other groups. How has that worked for us, Black family? Let's just look at the scorecard. See, we're going to have to start looking at things from a scorecard perspective. We've been on this diversity kick and minority people of color, Rainbow Coalition garbage for the longest. Look at what it has gotten us. Nothing. Our children are being slaughtered. Kids are being killed. Just this week alone, in the last week in Houston, 20-year-old Black kid got killed. They executed him, shot him multiple times. He was running from the police. They said he had a gun, which is, guns are illegal. You can have guns in Texas, by the way. This whole thing where he had a gun. These are places where guns are legal, by the way. Guns are legal. They come up with all these asinine justifications to kill us. They're doing it because of race. Let's just be clear. They're doing it because of race. So a lot of people got upset of the brother getting killed in Houston. Crowds started to form in Phoenix this week. A Black family was in a dollar store. The little 4-year-old Black girl walked out the dollar store with a doll. You know how kids, sometimes kids be picking up stuff and not paying for it. So somehow they called the police and the cops came through threatening to kill the family, pointing guns on the kids and the dad, and they pulled the dad out the car yelling at him, do what I fucking say, do it, kicking him. And I mean, they used that minor infraction to justify racially terrorizing the Black family. And the mother, the Black mom, was running around yelling, oh, I'm pregnant, y'all better cut that out. I told y'all running around yelling you pregnant, they don't give a damn. These white supremacists have zero sympathy for us. That video was crazy. That's insane. And also in Phoenix, I posted up a tweet showing that you had a bunch of race soldiers with the Phoenix Police Department sitting up on Facebook talking about killing Black folks, making Black jokes, making anti-Black comments. Let me tell you something. You have a God-given right to protect yourself from that. Always understand that, even if it means with death. You got a God-given right to protect yourself from demonic non-justice. That ain't justice, people targeting you because they determined that you were born the wrong color. No, you got a God-given right to defend yourself. Last night in Memphis, there was a mini riot last night. They killed another young man. This was an honor student. They tried to say he rammed the cops. The U.S. Marshal came and shot him multiple times. I mean, they're killing these young Black men left and right. And the streets rose up last night in Memphis. In Memphis last night, 24 officers got injured. Several of them were in the hospital. I saw a news reporter. They roughed him up. They put the hands on him. Brandon Weber, was that the young man from last night? Brandon Weber. And this brother, they've been trying to make him some kind of thug hoodlum. This brother, some of his friends, they were posting up some of his grades. He was an honor student, very smart young man. That's why, and a lot of people in the community love that cat. So the spirit of Ogun came through Memphis. The spirit of Ogun came through heavy. 100 years later, we're going through the same thing, and the energy is different. This is the summer now. The summer is popping off, and there's a whole different energy. And the white supremacists, they need to start producing justice, because there's only so much any mammal can take. Forget about humans, just mammals. You can't just keep kicking any living species without that species eventually trying to do something to defend themselves. You simply can't keep doing that. And let me tell you something, out here in LA, they killed a brother out there in the Wilmington Compton area. They killed a brother. They said they shot this brother like 30 times. He was unarmed. It was a brother from out there in Compton. They shot him, and what happened? a few days later, in that same area, and this is over there in Continental, I think this is in Athens Park Hood, the police were pulling over a car, a couple of brothers in a car, and what happened, some brothers in the neighborhood just kind of popped up out of nowhere on the cops, and the brothers had an exchange with them. I want to play the audio of that. Now, this happened in Compton. Let me play the audio of this. Some of y'all might not be able to make out what it is, but the brothers out there in Compton made the police get up off the block. Now, let me set this scenario up. If you follow me on social media, you could see it. But there's two police officers standing next to a car. I think one of the officers tried to open up the car door with the brothers in it. And then there's about 20, 25 other cats just standing on the sidewalk observing this. And they're talking to the police. So it looked like these brothers just kind of popped up by surprise. And that's the thing about L.A. A lot of times, man, these cats just... You're talking to one dude or you're talking to a couple of people, and the next thing you know, within minutes, it's like 20, 30, 40 more people out there. They just pop up out of nowhere. But listen to this if you can understand, and I'll try to break it down. Okay, why is my thing acting up? Hold on. Okay, let me take this. Okay. Okay, it keeps freezing right there. Okay, one of the brothers said, because the cops was like, they saw all those other brothers come out there, and one of the cats was like, hey, you calling back up? What, you scared? And the brothers say, hey, y'all need to leave. They're telling the cops this. The brothers in Compton, they're like, hey, were you scared? You calling back up? You scared? And the cop is like, well, you approaching me? They're like, well, you need to leave. The brothers are telling the cop, y'all need to leave. And one thing here is, if you look at it on social, if you look at it on my Twitter and my Instagram, I want y'all to look at the visuals if you can. All these brothers ain't standing out here with no damn camera phones. It's like one person filming, but you don't see none of these other. It might be one other dude in the crowd with a camera, but there's about 20 dudes out here. They ain't standing out there with no damn cameras. You understand? They're not out there with no cameras on some world star giggling. No, ain't nobody got no cameras out. So now the police are walking off. The cops are walking back to their car. Okay, so basically, and they're telling the police, they're like, hey, you got your gun, won't you use it? They told the suspected race soldiers, hey, you got your gun, why don't you use it? You understand what I'm saying? See, that's a whole different energy. That's a whole different energy right there. That's a well-formed militia right there. Those brothers are patriots, because those race soldiers were trying to do something illegal, something that they were not supposed to do, harassing those brothers, and the dudes came through and they let them know, y'all need to get up off this block. And the cops was like, we're going to call backup. And the brothers was like, okay, call them. We ain't going nowhere. You got your gun. Why don't you use that gun? See, the brothers were relatively calm. That's why they knew they had to get those cops had to get the hell on up out of there. See, when Negroes are running around yelling, oh, Lord Jesus, why is y'all doing this to me? I is pregnant. You know, when you yelling and all that, now you an easy target. Lord, you ain't supposed to be doing it to me, Lord Jesus. All that yelling and wailing. They love that. That makes them abuse you more. But these brothers, they weren't doing all that wailing. They weren't doing all that filming. They weren't doing all that crying. They were standing there letting them know, y'all better leave because we ain't going nowhere. You call back up if you want to. You understand? And they knew, and those race soldiers knew. They're fully aware that it wouldn't turn out good. If they called back up, that wasn't going to turn out good worth a damn. And Compton, with the climate we're in, they know what the hell is up. You understand? See, it's one thing to sneak up on a black person and ambush him like they've been doing these brothers out here. But now when they know you're going to come through, that's something different. They didn't want that problem. And you dealing with some of these dudes on these blocks who they don't give a damn. And they're not afraid of that. They ain't afraid of going to jail. They're not afraid of that. They don't want those problems. The energy is different now. This is the energy of justice. These police agencies, they've been infiltrated by white supremacists, and they are producing non-justice. And even the Constitution says that we should have well-formed militia groups in case of tyranny and non-justice, and that's what's happening. That's why we can speak about it publicly. We can speak about this publicly. We don't have to talk about it in a covert manner. We're talking about constitutional protections. You're supposed to be in a position to thwart tyranny and tyrannical governments. You're supposed to be in a position to thwart that. There's nothing wrong with thwarting tyranny and tyrannical governments. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to stand up for real constitutional justice. Because, see, these people know what they're doing is illegal, but they're getting away with it because nobody's calling it out. We got to call it out. We have to call it out and not be scared to call it out. When they start attacking our children, that's something, all bets are off. And again, we have to control the narrative. And understand this, another thing, too. I just don't put it on people working in law enforcement. Understand, the white supremacy works with different factions of white supremacist society working together. From the law enforcement, they're fueled by the white supremacist media. They're fueled by the white supremacist trolls because the white supremacist trolls come from the white supremacist communities. The white supremacist trolls online help spread white supremacist misinformation messages. Then the white supremacist jurors help let these white supremacist killers go off. Then the judges are on some white supremacists. So it's a whole community of white supremacists who are complicit with the police. That's one thing we got to understand. It ain't just the police. These other white supremacists within their communities, they're just as complicit. They are just as complicit. It's a whole circle and pyramid of white supremacist anti-black non-justice. You understand? So that's why we got to be on top of our game with this stuff. And we got to use the right terms, and we got to not be afraid to call it out. We got to call it out every chance we get. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. It's late night. It's 1:30 in the morning out here. I got stuff to do. Anyway, man, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get your tickets for Hidden Colors Film, Hidden Colors 5, coming to theaters August 1st. Hidden Colors 5 coming to theaters August 1st. Get your tickets and get your Hidden Colors 5 t-shirt. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a holla. Peace.